Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, you are tuned in to Second Wednesdays with Senator Barbara A. Robinson on Tribe Family Channel. Get ready to be encouraged, uplifted, and enlightened. And without further ado, Senator Emerita Barbara A. Robinson.
Hello, everybody. I'm just so glad to be here this evening. I am speaking to you tonight from the magnificent Senate building in Annapolis. There is a meeting that's going, well, it's actually not a meeting, it's a conference, cybersecurity program for all of Maryland's HBCUs, but we didn't just stop there. I put a bill in last year when I'm a retired senator, and I'm so glad I can do some things now that I was not able to do when I was a member of the General Assembly, but I can do them now. And there were some things I wanted to introduce, a bill that said that cybersecurity training would be available to individuals who are not necessarily students at any higher education, any higher institution. So not only did we put the bill in for all of Maryland's HBCUs, but I included a community college as well, Baltimore City Community College. Well, not being here this year, I wanted to expand that bill. So Senator Shirley Nathan Pulliam, and I wanted to interview her this evening, but she's out sick, but she did put the bill in, and it's carrying on what I started last year. And not only does that include historical black colleges, but she also reached back and included Langston Hughes Community Center. That's one of the resource centers that's located in my district, in my community. So what we are doing is reaching back and getting these young people, young black men, not necessarily young black men, but that's most of the ones that are here. I like to see more females get involved, but we have several. What is it? Yes, I am. I'm on now. I'm going back into the meeting. I'm walking back into. I want Lance to come and talk about cybersecurity. Lance Lucas is president of Digital Systems, and is one of the people that actually started this training program, if you will. So I'm going up here now. I'm walking to the front of the building. I'm up to the podium to see if I can get him. Lance, I need you to. We're streaming now.
Yes, how are you doing, Senator Robinson?
Absolutely fantastic. And I wanted you to I'm not going to accept any calls today, everybody. What I want to do is to talk about what we are doing here. So share something about what is cybersecurity, mm-hmm. and why Cyber Warrior Program, and why is it so necessary?
Okay, well, first of all, I want to thank you for supporting the legislation of the Cyber Warrior Bill last year that allowed every historically black college in the state of Maryland to have Cyber Warrior certificate programs at these universities that certify people in A+, which is computer technician, Network Plus, which certify people as network engineers, and Security Plus, to certify people as security analysts. These certifications get you all the way up to about $80,000 a year, and each training is 3 months. This is now funded by the state of Maryland, and it has no sunset. That means every year, 240 students in the state of Maryland will have the test paid for, will have the training paid for, will have the books paid for, to add to the cybersecurity professions, because we have a lack of them in this country right now, and it is a national emergency with cybersecurity. We know that the election was turned on cybersecurity, and now they may not know what it was before, but now everybody knows cybersecurity is so important, and we need more workers, and we need more workers in the African-American community.
How did you get started in this? How do you know that this was so necessary? How did you decide that you wanted a bill put in Annapolis? Legislation is what I'm trying to say. How did you know that you needed legislation behind you in order to get a program like this in these schools?
Well, look at Brown versus the Board of Education, 1952, decided in 1954. Separate but unequal education. Every higher educational institution, a majority institution, and community colleges had a cybersecurity certificate program. The Department of Defense required these certificates under DOD 8570 to get a job in any of the subsidiaries to get a job. So Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, you all had to have these certifications. So since they were mandated, and cybersecurity being the number one industry in that state, that means you could go to an HBCU and you still had to go to another academic institution to have the top jobs in the state.
Mm-hmm.
That is separate but unequal education.
That's true.
So this bill was a civil rights and cyber rights bill.
Now, you talked about Northrop Grumman and Lockheed Martin. For people who live in whatever remote of the world and don't know what they are, what are they?
Lockheed Martin is the number one defense company in the world. They make about $125 billion a year, and they put the F-35, most advanced jet in the world, in the air. Northrop Grumman is the number one supplier of cybersecurity to the Pentagon, and they put spaceships in the atmosphere, and they've been doing it for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
So you have SpaceX, and you have all these new rocket companies. The last 11 NASA missions had equipment from Northrop Grumman.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not play. This is the serious, innovative companies that change the way that we look at space and our environment.
So some of the people that you had that are going through the program, they are able to get jobs there?
Absolutely. The whole program is centered around jobs.
Okay.
Once you get the certification, you can get a job. Northrop Grumman is actively recruiting people. We have students that graduate from this program that are at Intel in Silicon Valley. We have students that are at Booz Allen, one of the top consulting firms in the world. We have students that are tons of students working at Northrop Grumman. So this is all about jobs. Most people go to college and universities to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
So this makes sure that it gets a job, it measures it, and it makes sure that our political leaders are well-educated on what is it that they can do to help supply jobs for underprivileged communities and communities of color.
Is that the reason that this program was held here in Annapolis, the Maryland Capitol, in the Senate building, so that you could interact with legislators?
Yes. We wish we had more legislators here, but we're going to work on it every year to get more to this spot.
Mm-hmm.
If they knew how many people was in this room and how many constituents they have, they would know to be here. But we're going to keep working on it every year and get more and more legislatures to educate them on why they should support bills that support our HBCUs, that support technology, and also support the communities.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Identify who you are.
I am Lance Lucas. I'm one of the founders of the Cyber Warrior Diversity Program.
And he's my friend.
Yes.
I'm just so proud of him. Thank you so much, Lance. You know,
talk about
this is your podcast. I want you to talk a little bit identify who you are, and that Senator Shirley Nathan Pulliam, who actually is the author of Bill 432?
Yes, Senate Bill 432. Yes.
And she will be defending that next week, next Tuesday, in Annapolis
in the committee at 1 o'clock. Yes, and Senator Nathan Pulliam is someone who is very much in favor of programs that advance our youth. She's also the vice chair of EHE, Education, Health, and Environmental Affairs Committee. She's very committed to making sure that, first of all, we're all healthy in every aspect, but second of all, that we're all thriving and being productive citizens. This program, it's a wonderful program. It will advance our young people. It will allow them to serve their communities. It will allow them to get the thriving jobs and more than jobs, secure career paths that they would like to have.
You know, one of the things that I wish Senator Nathan Pulliam was here, but I am going to interview her at a later date. She talked a little bit about what she does with Diversity Blacks.
Yes.
She's the national director of what? National leader of what?
Well, first of all, in terms of diversity, Senator Shirley Nathan Pulliam believes in diversity. She believes that it is diversity that we provide from all aspects. And everyone has something to contribute, and we're coming from all different aspects and all different disciplines. And it is this collective knowledge and expertise and experiences we have that will allow us to have the type of society where everyone is respected and everyone, because of that, is protected and able to produce at their best. Yeah.
And this is one of the ladies that actually works with Senator Shirley Nathan Pulliam in doing research on her bills, and she's a source to be reckoned with. Thank you so very much.
I'm Elaine Zammit with the Office of Senator Shirley Nathan Pulliam. Thank you very much.
Thank you
very much, Senator Robinson. Thank you.
You know, where's Destiny? I wanted to talk with another young lady that was actually a product of the Warrior program, and not only has she graduated, but Is this a young lady that's over here in the turban? That's,
yes.
Okay, I want to talk with her. She's actually not only graduated from the program, but she has a fantastic job. This is Barbara Robinson again. I'm broadcasting live from the Senate building in Annapolis, the Miller Senate building in Annapolis, and we're talking about Senate Bill 615 that I introduced in 2018, and we're talking about Senate Bill 432 that Senator Shirley Nathan Pulliam introduced in 2019. And this is George, we call him King George.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
George is...
My name is George Mitchell.
George is the director of the Langston Hughes program that I talked about earlier. So say what that is about.
Hello, yeah, we got a Langston Hughes program, got a cyber warrior program at Langston Hughes. Got about 150 computers, two different rooms. We're teaching kids everything they need to know about computer, about the programming, about cyber warrior with Lance Lucas. And to the guidance of this Senator Robinson, we appreciate everything she does for us. So that's about it. We come on by. We got a gymnasium. We got library. We got a full-service kitchen. We got mental health. We got the free Wi-Fi. We got the largest food pantry in the state. We got all kinds of stuff. So come on by.
How that started, you know, because so many times people say, well, I'm only one person and I can't do so and so. And you said that you didn't say I'm only one person. You said I am one person that will do. And tell how the building was dilapidated when you first saw it.
Well, it was one of the only surplus school buildings in the city that nobody had broken into. We wouldn't allow people to break into the building. So I had done summer programs in the building before when the school was open. The building had been closed about 3.5 years. And we decided we want that building to take it up to do some things in it for the community, and that's what we did. You know, Senator Robinson is right. My mom, I used to complain a lot about different things when I was younger. My mom would sit around and listen to me, and then I think she would console me and say, oh, baby, everything will be all right. When I finished, I said, what's going on, Mom? She said, well, son, I think you just have a lot of work to do. Stop complaining. Go do something about it. So, you know, we have to learn not to complain so much. Get up and do something about it. If your work has to be and change somebody else's mindset, then do that. But don't sit around and complain and act like nothing can be done about the situation, because it can be. You just need to change your mindset. So, Senator Robinson has been a great mentor for me and helped me get things done. I really love her and appreciate everything she does. And I don't know, what is it? You say this is live?
Yeah.
Where's live on what?
on podcast.
Oh, good. Okay.
Gumbo for the Soul tribe.
Well, let me tell them
from
on Saturday.
California, actually, is doubly black.
Well, tell them Saturday we're having a Black History program there. And we're also having a large job fair with the California people. Come on by Lexi Hughes, 5011 Arbutus Avenue in Baltimore, Maryland, 21215.
Thank you so much,
thank
George.
You, baby. Appreciate it. Love you.
Now you see why we call him King George. Hi. I want to talk with you a couple. Can you say a couple of words? You did graduate from the program, right?
Yes.
And this is a strong black young sister that not only graduated from the program but has a fantastic job. Talk a little bit about what it is.
I work for the Aerospace Corporation. I do desktop support right now. I love the environment of the job. They do really great there.
What possessed you to go through the cybersecurity warrior training program?
I was completely homeless. Me and the twins were actually staying at a homeless shelter. And they told me about
twins are Tavon and Tracy.
Tracy and Trayvon?
Tracy and Trayvon, which are identical twins. Good friends. These are some smart young men. No, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But they told me about the program, and I was like, you know what? Nothing else is happening for me in my life. I've got to do something. So went through the program, got my first job within like the first 3 months. Because I worked for Digital City, but it was Digital Systems, and then I transitioned to a different job.
Okay. Can you, you don't have to give your exact salary, but somewhere around about that you make?
I make about 70K, really.
Do you see what that? That's what I'm talking about. It's been, what, a year?
It's been a while since I got the certification, actually. It's been about 8 weeks.
Homeless. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is what I'm saying, young people. You know, you say that you don't know how to get into the world of work. Well, this is how you do. You take advantage of every program that's out there and work it to your advantage. Now, the next time I'm going to be hearing about you, going to start your own business. Is that right?
I'm working on it.
Hello.
I'm working on it.
Hello. Anything I can do to help you, let me know.
I sure will.
I know that's right. So proud of you, sweetheart. So proud of you.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Barbara Robinson, and I'm talking live. And I know you eating over here, but I'm still going to come over, and I want to talk with you a little bit about what does this program mean to you? You're on live. This is Gumbo for the Soul Child Program out of California.
Oh, wow.
Beverly Black, and it's a podcast, and you're live.
I'm live. Oh, wow.
So I want to talk with you a little bit about what it is that you do. What did you get out of the program?
what I learned is most definitely just have a
identify yourself.
Oh yeah,
and say how old you are.
Oh yeah, thank you. My name is Destin Dorsey. From UMES, computer science major. I'm 22. You know, it's my last year, my last semester there, so I'm going to be graduating this upcoming May. And what I got out of this is like an entrepreneurship type of mindset. You know, be able to be a businessman. Also, be smart enough to be able to handle the other side. So, you know, I learned a lot from Ms. Robinson as far as learning how to be a person that have a mindset of I can compute, you know, I can most definitely code, I can learn IT, but also I know how to start my own business.
Absolutely.
So now I can be an IT person, but also have my own business fit with it, you know what I'm saying? So I think that was a beautiful mesh that I got out of today.
I'm glad. So young people who are out here, you encourage them to follow their dream in computer. Suppose somebody's out there, because the program that we have, it's not just for individuals who are college students. These are individuals who are in the streets.
Yeah.
So what are you saying to someone who is in the street and thinks that they don't have enough smarts, if you will, to pursue a career in a cyber warrior? What would you say?
Well, I feel like get around people that are confident and also encouraging and just positive. People that are around you can also uplift you. So the people that are around you should be able to give you enough courage and give you enough, I would say, wisdom or knowledge that will make you feel like you could be able to do it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I just think more of who you're surrounded with. So if you see your friends doing something that's not of what you want to do, or if you see your friends not being the new level or the extra level that you want to reach, then I feel like you have to kind of surround yourself with people that are on that new level or that extra level, so you can be able to say, oh, my friend can do it, so I know I can
That's
do it.
Right.
So it's just being around positive people and have a positive mindset.
And
always surround yourself with good people, you know, and pray. Just pray that God can just take you and find that person. So that's another layer, you know, prayer.
Okay, identify who you are again.
Hey, my name is Destin Dorsey from UMS, Annapolis, actually. I'm born and raised in Annapolis. So it's a blessing to come back and meet Senator Robinson. It's a pleasure to meet you, seriously. It really is a pleasure.
It's my pleasure.
Yes.
It's my pleasure. Hello, everybody. Again, this is Senator Barbara Robinson streaming live from Baltimore, Maryland at the Senate building in Annapolis. We have a Cyber Warrior program that's going on here. Actually, it's called the Cyber Warrior. Hey, how you doing? We call the Cyber Warrior Night in Annapolis, and we have business people here, and we have legislators here, senators, and we have young people here. You know, someone just came in who, when I was years ago, when I was hosting at Morgan State University, I used to host the Business Reach Out Forum, and I'm going back in the early 80s, and the first person that was on my show is this lady that's standing beside me. So introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Dr. Denise Holland. How's everyone?
And what brings you here?
I was invited, certainly, by one of my advisory board members, Lance Lucas.
Okay.
And I'm also the program coordinator for cybersecurity at Baltimore City Community College.
Okay. Now, what do you see the young people here doing when they my bill passed last year,
right,
for Cyber Warrior program,
yes,
at all of Maryland's historical black colleges. And Senator Shirley Nathan Pulliam carried it on this year, and she introduced a bill, Senate Bill 432,
yes,
to expand it more.
Mm-hmm.
What significance do you see for the young people getting involved in cyber security training or cyber warrior training now?
Oh, my goodness. It's limitless opportunities, but especially those getting certifications in A+, Network Plus, and Security Plus.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely will get a job a lot sooner,
mm-hmm,
with those certifications. It's like carrying that really big gold card for American Express.
Okay. Now, you've been involved with computing a long time. Because
38 years, but remember, I'm only 21, right?
Because, like I said, when I first mentioned it, it was back in the
80s. Yes, it was.
Know.
A long time.
Yeah,
long,
and
long
you've
time.
Been hanging in there a long time.
Yes, I have. I wrote my first program at 12. That told
you
anything.
Wrote your first program,
at
12.
Yes.
Wow. Okay, identify yourself again.
I'm Dr. Denise Holland, and I'm the program coordinator for Baltimore City Community College.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
You just always look great. You always look great. You always
Thank you.
Look great.
Thank you.
Hello, everybody, again. This is Barbara Robinson, and I'm streaming live from Miller Senate Office Building in Annapolis, where we have the Cyber Warrior Security Night. How are you doing? Good. Night in Annapolis. And we have some people here who are super fantastic. We have legislators here. We have senators. And what we're trying to do is to combine legislators with business people and with young people, because so often we put in bills and we don't know what they do. We don't know how to get them passed, is what I'm trying to say. And so we just know that a representative, they call representatives in some states, but in Maryland, they're called delegates, members of the House of Delegates. And before I became a senator, I was a member of the House of Delegates for 10 years. And so I retired in December as a state senator. And it's just absolutely fantastic to see these young people come out tonight to interact with legislators in order to get the bills passed, because this is their future. This is their future. So I'm going back inside and listen to some more of the program.
Those extra accoutrements, that's French, that you need to impress employers. I remember speaking on behalf of NSA at the University of Maryland School of Engineering down there, and then the parents were coming to listen about what opportunities were out there for the young ladies in STEM. And, you know, Destiny, you remember that day, right? We talked about the young ladies in STEM. So you got 100 parents, 300 young women, trying to get them into STEM, and they weren't sold on certifications. They're like, well, what about the degree? I say, well, listen, the degree is a peanut butter and the certification is a jelly. It is good separately, but better together to employers. They're not in competition. And you would think that this idea of competition was antiquated, but still to this day, some high education institutions think the certifications take away from the degree. It does not. It enhances the degree. It is part of it. Yes, we have students that have strictly certifications that have professions. But guess what? They're looking for continuing education now. They're taking classes. Destiny, you're taking some classes now, right? Okay. But listen, so it doesn't take away from it. It leads to more people engaging. And this next gentleman, I've been watching. I'm a nerd about education, okay, so as you can see. But when I was 21 years old, these folks walked into Staples, which I worked at the time, and they were copying these manuals on how to fix computers. And I was like, man, this is really interesting. I'm in a copy center that's looking at this stuff, like, this is really nice. And I said, well, where are you from? I said, we're from this place called UMBC Training Centers in 1999. And I said, this is nice. And in 2003, this next gentleman, Ted Malwitz, took over the UMBC Training Centers, where they taught people workable skills in the industry like Cisco, like cloud, like skips, all the things that weren't quite integrated into the curriculum yet, but the businesses needed them. So I followed them for over the last 20 years. I would follow if you can. Probably got you. But now we're just to the level where the community meets that higher upper echelon education. Now, these courses that you can take at UMBC, right? They have courses that are created by companies like Northrop Grumman, Booz Allen, Morgan Stanley. These companies go to the UMBC Training Center and say, we need this course in quantum computing. We need this course in artificial intelligence. We need this course in machine learning and agile. And they literally create the courses according to business. See, that's innovation. When you're closing a pipeline between innovation and education. And that model is the model of the future. So we are blessed to have this law that can form a cemented partnership between this higher ed platform to leverage it to move us into the future with UMBC Training Centers and Mr. Kent Malwitz. So thank you, and please welcome Kent Malwitz, UMBC Training Centers President. And
thank you, Lance. I'm proud of you, man. You have done so much, and you work so hard, and I don't know if you hear it a lot, but we appreciate everything you do. You have a huge impact, and I'm just proud to be associated with you, so thank you. And Senator Robinson, I know Fortran and COBOL also. So I was telling Desi, we have jobs waiting for us at Social Security Administration because they still use Fortran and COBOL.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, they do, but they also use everything else. And Mr. Mitchell, I thought about your comment about you don't even know how to turn your computer on. That is the only secure system there is, the computer that you do not turn on. So I think you are a cyber warrior as well. Every other computer that's turned on and plugged in, it is either under attack or it's able to be attacked. So we need more and more people helping to defend our systems, defend our institutions, defend our assets and resources, and so I'm really proud of you all for being a part of this. I couldn't be prouder to be a part of this ourselves. Back in 2003, right before that, I had just met Dr. Hrabowski, who had just taken on as president of UMBC. And if you don't know Dr. Hrabowski, I encourage you all to look him up. His story is amazing. Talk about change, talk about progress and innovation. And he's challenged us to push higher ed, to push UMBC. Don't be complacent with the way things have been. Look for ways you can add more value and continue to stay relevant and help our students and help others to participate in fields like cybersecurity and IT. And Lance is right, there's no more traditional single way to get into these fields. You can get a degree, you can go into the field, you can come out of high school, get some hands-on experience, get certifications, get into the field. We encourage you to continue on and get your degree because there will be more opportunities available for you with a degree. And so there is no single path in. The employers need help. They need more and more talent in this area. I will say we're in the midst of change, even with employers. They need help, but they still are holding on in some ways to biases and sort of the old way of thinking about it. We're out there fighting every day to say, look, you can't do what you've done for the last 20 years because you don't have enough people. You got to look in new places, and they are. Places like Northrop Grumman are leading the charge in that way. They just hired five folks out of our program as apprentices with little experience, and they're starting to find opportunities within the organizations that programs like the Cyber Warrior Diversity Program and our programs can feed. But we are in the middle of change. I want to make sure you know, just because there's hundreds of thousands of jobs doesn't mean you're just going to waltz right into those. They're still being selective. The more you have, the better. The harder you work, the better. The better you can present yourself, the better. And so, keep doing what you're doing. I want to talk about how we got to where we are with our cyber programs real quick, just in the context of change and how quickly things can change. In 2007, shortly after I met Lance, a guy came to me wearing fatigues, came into our office and said, I have a problem. I'm with the Army. He never told me his name. We had an entire meeting. He never told me who he was. He was actually out of NSA, but he was Army. And he said, we have people that join the Army that don't know how to do technology, and they don't know how to do cyber. But other countries are building a military that does have cybersecurity capability. We need to do the same. So we need help building cybersecurity capability out of the people that are joining the Army, which are not people with computer science degrees or information systems or backgrounds. They join the Army to drive Jeeps and travel and shoot guns and stuff. And he said, I need to take those people and convert them into cybersecurity professionals. And I said, okay, how long do we have? And he said, 6 months. Like, okay, well, we'll try. Let's see what we can do. And we used the same curriculum that is used in these programs to build the foundations of information technology and then networking and then information assurance and then on and on and on, a little bit of programming. We created a six-month program that took soldiers who had no background in IT to be in cybersecurity. Now, they needed to get their hands on keyboard and do stuff to continue to learn, but that program worked, and he came with a cohort and said, okay, that's great. Now we need 10 more. Now we need 25 more. Now we need 100 more. That back then was a little, and forgive me for anyone who's in the military, I don't know the terminology, it was a little squadron or battalion or whatever the smallest unit was. What was it? What's it? Okay. The next years later, we kept going and going, hundreds of people through the same program. Now you have U.S. Cyber Command. Out of those efforts, you have, each branch has their own dedicated cyber function, and it started off with just old people out of the general population in the military to train them. So, and anybody can learn this stuff if you have an interest and a passion for it. That's the main thing that he found when he interviewed all the soldiers, who should I invest the money in these programs. If you had a passion for it, you could do it. If you didn't care, if you're kind of interested, it didn't work, even if you had the technical aptitude as much as the people that have the passion. So that has been from 2007 to now. We've got hundreds of thousands of people in these roles and hundreds of thousands more that are needed. So change is needed and change is happening. And this is an environment, like Lance said, where change has to happen because what has worked in the past is not going to work in the future. We need many more people, and there's just too critical to get more folks into these roles. So our program is excited to be a part of this. We have that same program created as an apprenticeship program where folks coming out of programs like the Cyber War Diversity Program at the HBCUs can come into the apprenticeship program hired by employers like Northrop Grumman or Raytheon or T. Rowe Price and continue to learn on the job while you go through related technical instruction. So more technical training in the evenings while you work during the day. That's one way that this program, I think, can engage with the broader movement that's happening here. So we will continue to show up and be a place to go, perhaps, whether it's right away after coming through the program or maybe down the line for professional development. We support these efforts. We're proud to be a part of it. And again, Lance, I thank you for hounding me for years and making us participate, and we're happy to. So thank you all. And stick around if anyone has questions about our program. I'd be happy to answer them. So thank you.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. And I have to end with, because I know what's good. So it's all about relationships, right? And to think about relationships that built on trust. Before you get to love, right? Get to go, I love what they're doing over there, right? You got to have trust. And I trust they know what they're doing. Because they're just not about education. They're about what happens after you get the education. Where's that job located at? Because I'm sorry. I know we got a lot of professors in here, but a lot of people go to school just to get a job. Okay? I don't know. I ain't going to ask y'all students to raise their hand. But we're focusing on the jobs and what happens after you get the certification. What are relationships with the businesses that are hiring? How do we innovate and its companies and be an asset? And I just wanted to play a little video. If the volume might not even play, it may not be right, but we're going to try it anyway. But this young man is here tonight.
I can see his
body. I'm gonna fix this volume.
We're still streaming from the Miller Office Building in Annapolis, and what we're trying to do is to show video of the accomplishment of one of the young people that has actually graduated from the program and done extremely well. I would just like the young people across the nation to know what's happening here. And I'd like to duplicate this program in other states so that young people can take advantage of the future. We're talking about the Cyber Warrior Diversity Program that are providing jobs. We're just going to pass because we've been working on it to get it through. So I hope you can hear this young man. He just said that he's working now in the mayor's office as one of her technicians. I mean, this is somebody from the street. It's somebody from Mars. Mars program.
He placed second in the Cisco Skills USA competition.
I hope all of you can hear this. It's just magnificent. These young people are getting scholarships.
And not just an AQ. Another student is on his way to big things.
You know, I don't want to look at me now because I
don't
know when they're done, but I'm paving the way.
J. Ralph Cephas also completed training with Digital Systems and got certified.
Sophomore junior at high school. I was interning at Baltimore City's Mayor Office of Information Technology.
Students are now becoming mentors.
I for sure want to give back and shine light on this because this is one of the best opportunities I ever came across.
Only my experience being a part of the Sample Warrior program. It's been awesome. Like, I've been meeting a lot of new people. I've been expanding my mind and realizing that there's so much that we can take out of Sample. So far, my experience with the Sample Warrior University program has been everywhere. I've had a chance to have an internship on the global supply chain, thanks to the program, thanks for being exposed to it. Also, I've had a chance to meet new students from all aspects and all different majors and give them an opportunity to do the exact same thing that I did.
Now, what is happening is that these young people, 22 years old, that's graduating from the Cyber Warrior Diversity Program, getting jobs and then going back out there and being mentors for other young people. And this is awesome.
Morgan State University or Cotton State or any HBCU across the country, go for something in summer because you don't have the opportunity to get certified. So, I mean, that's how I started. President, I can genuinely say we are getting an agreement to go to our second year of the program. We have one A-plus cohort. We had the 100-plus cohort, which is the continuance of the A-plus class last year, which we had 120% certification rate. So, I mean, we had been ready to go for A-plus class, we did it in this last year.
This is a young man that started in the program, and now he has his own business. That's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Well, your dream is coming true today, Jerome, because you have. Yeah. You got University of Maryland, the show, and he's happy. You got copies over here. And just to let you guys know, we started at Bowie State 2 weeks ago, sponsored by North O'Brien. And they certified their first person last night in less than 2 weeks. So, yeah, we're hoping. So, I just wanted to segue that into where. This whole thing, how Northrop Grumman and Digital City and Jarrell all met, you know, met us at a root of this business called RTGX. And this business guy, this big-time business guy, right? And he allowed us to start a testing center in his office on the campus of UMBC in a BTEC. And so when we met with Northrop Grumman, we met in his office in a testing center, and it was supporting each other, the relationships that we had. And he saw that our relationship with Jarrell, had a relationship with Armando, and then we had a relationship with Northrop Grumman. We all welcome into the family because they see their relationships, and that's how you judge a person by what they do, not what they say. And through the relationships, you can see how they do. So Armando helped us grow bigger, exposed us to a wider community, and also as an independent business person, encouraged us to continue our independent spirit. So I appreciate everything he's done, and he continues to help guide us as an organization. And anytime I call him on him to help, he is always there. He throws a hell of a New Year's Eve party, too. Anyway, everybody, please welcome Mr. Armando Say, the advisor and board member of Dreamforce, your fighter band.
Thanks, man. I didn't invite you, man. I don't know how you got there. I'm full security in that place. You're in. And I want to start out by using Lance's analogy of how higher education and certifications can come together. I mean, he's talking about the peanut butter and the jelly, but you know, to make a sandwich, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, you need the bread. So I would say experience is the bread that makes the sandwich. So unless you need really your fingers, you know, that's not so much fun. But so one of the things that Lance and I always talk about is that these are great, great beginnings, particularly at the high school level and at the college level. And I've been happy to continue to work with Lance and give them all the ideas for my travels around the country. And as Lance mentioned, last year, myself and a business partner, we created a not-for-profit entity
to work with government on cybersecurity problems. We were fortunate enough to win a nationwide competition against more mature, more sophisticated, well, at least they're so sophisticated, I was supposed to say that. But anyway, entities, we won a contract with a $300 million ceiling with the United States Cyber Command. The purpose of the command and our facility is to do advanced cyber innovation. What does that mean? In today's cybersecurity world, there are hundreds of thousands of products and multi-billion dollar corporations that are, you know, fuel those products. Cyber Command and the National Security Agency and DISA and the State of Maryland and commercial companies, and we actually work with all those entities, and we're working with universities as well. Okay, we've seen all this stuff, but this is the problem that we have. We haven't found something that solves this problem. It's typically a cybersecurity problem. We opened our doors in November. We have a 20,000 square foot facility. We're already getting ready to expand to another 20,000 square feet because the demand is so high. One of our charters, as a nonprofit, as well as with the work that we're doing through Cyber Command, is to bring in young people like yourselves into the real world of cyber. There are very few places in this world where you'll get to work alongside people that are seeing some of the most massive, most sophisticated cyber attacks that most corporations will only experience once they've already been impacted. Our cyber warriors in the U.S. Cyber Command, at NSA, at DISA, and I could go on and on, are working on trying to be ahead of these cyber attacks and these problems. Recently, we're getting ready to take on the critical infrastructure project, and what I tell people all the time is without electricity, it doesn't matter how good of a cyber warrior you're going to get very far, right, because the power is out, right? If you study some of the cyber events that happen around the world, one of the first things the adversary has done is knock out the banking system and the power. Once they do that, they have the advantage. All of your ability to see and predict what's going to happen and control what's going to happen is gone when the power is gone. And talking to folks in the Navy, they're teaching sailors, and the Air Force is teaching pilots how to navigate by the stars. The old Columbus, you know, kids from Columbus kind of way. Why? Because in case of a cyber attack on a naval ship, on aircraft, if they knock out those systems, they're in the blind. And their weapon systems and, you know, the adversaries that are out there in the world, both corporately and personally. I'll give you a stat that we are very familiar with. Inner-city schools, inner-city school districts, and inner-city colleges, okay, are high on the list of cyber attackers for cyber attacks. What are they coming after? They're coming after your Social Security numbers. They're coming after your teacher's payroll data. I've been doing a little work with Baltimore City, and they're getting attacked dozens of times a week. They almost lost a ton of money. A bunch of teachers and employees of the system were fooled into thinking a website was legitimate. It's called a social engineering or phishing scheme, and they put in their direct deposit account information to a fake website. The minute these folks had that information, they were able to go to the real site, put in their credentials, and says, don't direct deposit into that account, direct deposit into this account all the way somewhere in Europe. Luckily, that didn't happen. They were able to stop it before it got too far, but within literally hours, 250 of their employees had gone to the fake website. In the city of Atlanta, they actually did lose real money. They lost several million dollars worth of payroll because they did not have a stopgap measure. So these are the kinds of problems that we're working on. What we're looking for are young people just like you and with the ability to provide real-world experience, because the certifications begin giving you the foundation, additional academic education, like with UNBC. UNBC's training center is a partner. They held our first cyber competition before our building was facility was built. We held our first what we call rapid prototyping event there, and that was incredible. But what employers and U.S. every element of the United States government is visiting our facility on almost a weekly basis. Like, we tell major corporations, if you want to reach your customer in one sitting, come over to Dreamport, and you're going to see General Nakasone. You're going to see General Stewart, who's a Jamaican African American deputy commander of the U.S. Cyber Command, by the way, and proud. You guys should look up General Stewart. Incredible story. He was also the head of the Defense Intelligence Agency. So why is this all important? Is because we're seeing a lot of young people graduating with what we call soft skills, and soft skills are good, but cyber requires a combination of soft skills and hard skills. You have to be able to execute and do something.
Okay, you have to be able to do scripting. You got to be able to do reverse malware engineering. And this program, the Cyber Diversity Board Program, is the beginning to begin getting those skills, but it's not the end. And what I would love to see you guys do, and let us know, is to encourage you to keep going. This is your first step. It's the beginning. Most of the jobs require certifications, but they also require critical hands-on experience. And that's what corporations that have been generous, like Northrop Grumman and what they do in the world, I can't say enough about them, is really important, trying to give opportunities to young people like yourself. And yes, like last month, I created a company. We sold it a couple of years ago. That's not a big deal. But what's a bigger deal is I saw this young man here that I grew up for a minute at the corner of Park Heights and Belvedere back in the day. So I know what's possible because I'm an example. I went to Carver Vocational Technical High School, as did my wife. I went the entrepreneur and consulting commercial route. My wife was recruited by NSA. We eventually got together and created a company that employed, you know, hundreds of people all over the country and worked with NSA and that kind of thing. So it's possible. It's not about where you come from. It's about where you're going. And the fact that you're in this room kind of says that you want to go somewhere, you want to do something. The fact that you got this beautiful lady here who was so important to what happened, and so many other people here, they're supporters of what you're doing. That's important. You have a support system. You have the ability to reach back. You aren't by yourself. There's no such thing as you can't do. You owe yourselves a round of applause just for being in this room. That's an accomplishment, you know. And that's how I'll leave you. Remember, peanut butter and jelly, but you still need bread.
Thank you, John. Appreciate you. Have a good night next year.
You just heard someone from the business owners talking about training people and how they actually made it and how they actually help the young people feel that they can be. So what they're doing now is giving to the young people who have actually started in the streets. And these people are starting in the streets. Some of them are homeless. Were homeless. And went through the program and kept working. And they're now making jobs, making a living wage. When I say living wage, I mean a wage where they can actually take care of themselves.
And I want to give and come on up this evening. We have this citation from Ms. Gloria Bellani right here to Senator Kelly McCullough. Before we get this citation. And you want to read it?
Yes. Ms. Bellani, I came over to your table. I asked for your name, but I already do. On behalf of Senator Shirley Nathan Pulliam, this resolution, citation from the state of Maryland, to Gloria Bellani, Northrop Grumman, in recognition of your fierce advocacy and field resolve to support the Cyber Warrior Pilot Program. You stand as a stellar example of leadership and public service. Best wishes for continued success in your future endeavors. Presented on this day, Senator Shirley Nathan Pulliam.
Yes, this is a young black woman that's being honored for the work that she is doing at Northrop Grumman. And she's being presented an award from Senator Shirley Nathan Pulliam's office. And Senator Bush or Nathan Pulliam is out sick. Her office is really representing her well.
We have one more thing for you. So you
have to come up here. Okay. So I'm going to promote this program. I started it. The very first one that was at Morgan State University. And we had 23 people from Miller State University and Crawford State University, which are two historical black colleges in Baltimore, Maryland. And we took these people and trained them And once they were trained, every one of them got jobs at Northrop Grumman. And not one made less than $60,000. What a beautiful fence. Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. She's been giving us great trophy. And it's warrior. It's a warrior trophy.
Thank you, and I made it on the
bank. Beautiful.
Yes, you
definitely will stay tall.
Oh, no. Shoot, statue. Shoot, statue.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
Come on,
now.
I'll take that.
I'll take that. Go ahead. I want one. Because if he doesn't take it, I will.
Well, this is really a surprise.
It's beautiful.
Thank you so much. I can't thank you enough.
Come close to
Senator, to Senator Pulliam and to my sister, Sister Robinson. Thank you so much for all that you do and for your leadership. And thank you, Lance, for your leadership as well. So T5 always asks me for a lot of money. He's always asking for money. So sometimes I'm looking for that return on investment because that's what my company's looking for, the return on investment. And in this situation, I could say what I thought the return on investment would be, but I wasn't certain. But after talking to Lance and talking to T5, I decided that I would rather ask for forgiveness rather than permission. And so we decided that we would fund this this program. And I don't know if it's a program. I think it's pretty much a way of life and getting support to our community. When you look at the pipeline, or I'll call it a pipeline, or fiber and the diversity in that pipeline is sort of missing. And I think we needed to do something about that. And our company really said to me, well, we have a program around fiber. We need to do that. You can team up with this, but they didn't have a diversity program around fiber, and that's what we really needed. And so I also want to tell you a little story about Jarrell. If I had any problems in the beginning in funding the Mentor Protege agreement that we had with Digital City and the Fiber Warrior program, it all vanished once Jarrell came to one of our leadership conferences. And the CEO of the company was up speaking. And when he finished speaking, he called for questions. And there were many of his leadership team in the room, a lot of VPs, a lot of directors, managers, you know, those high-level people. And none of them asked a question, but Jarrell did. He stood up and he asked our CEO a question. And after that, the CEO came to me and he said, who is that young man? Where does he work? Does he work for Northrop? If he doesn't, he should. And so that was kind of the relationship we started with Jarrell. And he has not disappointed us. And the students that you brought to the program have just been incredible. The work that you guys have done, your leadership in at Coppin and Morgan and Bowie and all the other universities that Lance has taken you to, has just been incredible. So I have to thank you so much for all that you do in your leadership role. I feel safe and I feel secure knowing that handing this fiber area over to you are going to be just fine. I think that you're going to make sure that pipeline is diversified, as will all of you. I believe that everyone in this room, because you're here tonight, that you have made a commitment to this area, and I think that's extremely important. But T-Zock, I got to acknowledge you, so you have to come up, because T-Zock really, really has been the one who's done the work. I want to thank you. Thank you so much for the recognition. It's really a surprise. And I thought the kids actually made me a Cyber Warrior helmet that I keep proudly in my office. I mean, it's right on. As soon as you walk in the door, you have to see it because it's the biggest thing on the shelf. But it really represents their dedication to making sure that they have these certifications and that they're ready and willing and able when those doors are open for those job opportunities. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Now you can have a cup of tea.
Okay. Thank you, Brent. It's right over here. Brent, you have our presentation. It's right here. And make it boom. It's worth coming up here. Yeah. All right. And so next, let's talk about things like Loza. This guy, you know, we got him black, you know what I'm saying? It ain't about that, but I'm loving you. We also have a citation for Mr. Tezak Loza. I met this guy, yeah, Tezak Loza. Now, I met this guy at the President's Technology event for HBCUs, 44-945, for the Obama administration at the Academy of Science, Mathematics, and Medicine. And we were both on the same panel, and it was about HBCUs, technology, and leadership. I gave a demonstration, you know, did some magic on the board. He had some great things to say about HBCUs and Northrop Grumman, and we connected just off the words and the communication. He said, listen, let's sit there and talk. Do you think you can build a pipeline for top security for the United States of America? I said, I guess I can. Let them with Northrop Grumman. We can help you do that. And I was with a not-for-profit, so I was like, but you know, I'm a not-for-profit. He said, well, listen, the best way to change the world is to make money. So we're going to show you how to transition from a not-for-profit to a for-profit. We're going to enter you into a mentor-protege agreement under the Department of Defense. And we're going to show you how to take what you're doing in the neighborhood and scale that and take it around the world. And that's just from a conversation. He had college presidents chasing him around, his administrators chasing him around. Like, I'm like... And he took the time to have that conversation and really engaged with me. And he's a good person, just above and beyond all this stuff. He's a good human being. And I appreciate you, Tezak Loza. So even though I just got you a flag, you get it done. So we're going to go ahead and bring on this citation you read off of. Come on up here, Tezak Loza. Appreciate you. Did you read that?
Hold it in half with the second. Tezak Loza, Northrop Grumman, in recognition of your unparalleled and dedicated commitment to support the Cyber Warrior Pilot Program, your work is exemplary. You are a visionary of great inner vision and high purpose. Congratulations again, Senator Shirley Nathan.
Before you go. Thank you very much. We do have a founder's award for Mr. Tezak Loza for helping us start this, and I never forget where I came from. I say always leave the dance where I came with, you know. You know, you can't buy loyalty, you can't buy trust. If you ain't trusting with you, your mind can be sold. So I definitely appreciate you. Holy real good Tezak, like you always talk me out.
This is another great plaque that's been given. To someone who was part of the founding of this program. At Northrop Grumman.
You see the teamwork make the dream work, right? You guys supporting each other and being together.
This is Barbara Robinson. I know that a lot of you are listening. Some of you may not be able to hear it, and I hope you are, though, because this is the first time that this has been done in Annapolis, the very first time. So this is the inaugural meeting with Cyber Warrior Diversity Program in Annapolis. But we are going to do it again.
And I said, when you can make a change in a person's life with a program like this, and We need to think about it. So I took it to my director, Gloria. She told you that Lanza gave her a helmet. So I grabbed it, I put it on, because I was going to ask for money. You know what comes with that, you know? A lot of spears. But she had the understanding. She thought about it. She looked at the large vision of how this would help the young people, not only in Maryland, but all across the country. So forward 2.5 years, we did a little project program. We worked this pilot program with Morgan Compton. Now we're expanding that with the cyber bill 15 and now the amendment for other colleges, not only APQ, but MI, and hopefully we could expand it to other colleges, TCUs around the country. But it was the vision that Lance had that he kind of sent that over to me, and I, with my helmet, sent it off to Gloria, and we made it happen. So I want to thank all the students, all the leaders in the state, and also the senators for their assistance and patience and help. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You think this feels like that kind of thing. I just wanted to Local Gorman has sponsored students for the Cyberway program at Florida Memorial University in Miami, students from FIU, Florida International University. They've helped put the program and convince Xavier University of New Orleans to start this program next fall, and Captain Morgan, and now UMES has a program starting this weekend. Let's give it to UMES for showing up on the floor, y'all.
Hey, UMES!
But no, I love it. I've been there 6 times to start the program with Dr. Brown. Thank you for bringing the students here. We really want to appreciate it. Can you stand up? Come on. There's the professors that want to hear. Yeah. Give it up. Came all the way with me, and we took energy. It's a great show for UMS. We know they're going to be great. And they're the first ones to start the actual state program. They jumped out first.
UMS jumped out first.
Right.
University of Maryland Eastern Shore, which is one of the Maryland historical black colleges. All black colleges, historical black colleges are Morgan State University, Bowie State University, Carbon State University, and University of Maryland Eastern Shore. We have 4 historical black colleges. But what we've done to include community organization
and we're becoming a family, and I welcome UMES to that family, and I'll be on this weekend to see y'all, so make sure you're in the classroom, okay? I ain't coming for nothing. Okay, we have Bowie. We certified their first person, like we said, but I'm so proud of Bowie State. They were hardcore. And we have Dr. Holland here from Baltimore City Community College, our own community college in the Cyber Warrior Bill. Put your hand up in the air, Dr. Holland. Come on now. She ran down here, had to come on deadlines, and still taking her. Everybody was busy with other stuff down here tonight. So I think everybody's coming out. But I want to recognize the Cyber Warrior students that are here, that went through the pilot program. So those students that went through the pilot program, if you just stand up, some of the students are here. Come on, stand up over there. Come on, stand up. Y'all please stand up. Come on, stand up. Yeah, come on, stand up, man. Stand up. Y'all just playing. Stop playing, man. Now, there's over 100 students that have certifications all over the country because of Northrop Grumman, the Department of Defense Knowledge, the Anthropology Program, and Digital City. 100 students. And now with this bill, in 2019-2020, there will be over 700 cyber warriors. See, we're growing.
That's right.
And we're going to get bigger and stronger. So I want to recognize
that's
what
happens.
But I want to recognize, when
legislation,
okay?
Legislators,
when you go up to college,
business owners,
people in college are going through poverty too.
Educators,
people on couches. Going from here to there,
you're
really staying. Do you know the number one reason people drop out of high school and college is the same reason? Financial instability. It's hard out here. Sometimes you need some money. Sometimes you need some help. So today, we want to start to do that. And we work with Northrop Grumman, and we put together our dollars from them and put something on the side and put it together. And we put something out there. They didn't even know we did this on the side with them, but it's coming from you guys, right? We have a $3,000 scholarship for Jarrell Stevens. Come on up here, boy. It's our first scholarship. Let's have it.
We just gave a $3,000 scholarship to one of the young men to continue. Well, Northrop Grumman. GRU.
No,
we just gave a $3,000 scholarship to Jarrell Cephas. Absolutely. I'm just glad to see that they put in their money where they're worth needed.
It's your money. Okay. You know, honestly, you know, it's you got to share the love. You got to support people to support you. So you two, see, now, y'all two get up here. Let's get the little grammar picture going on here,
That's a great
leaders that just was after me, but was still first.
I'm trying to say. Jawan Whitehead, he had a chance to intern. He had a chance to intern at Intel last year. And I mean, there was times when I'm in Texas and I'm calling him, like, man, what's going on with this? And he's telling me new stuff, and I'm telling him new stuff. Keep those people in your circle. Zara Harris, I mean, he has gone from, we're talking about technologies to now giving houses, or homes, I'm sorry, a luxurious technology experience. We have Julian Faulkner. And I had the opportunity to talk with him. And he started telling me about an LLC to move students into stores temporarily. We have entrepreneurs that want to do something and want to change the dynamic of where we're at. So, again, I just want to thank you guys for involving technology and cyber on top of that. And lastly, Gloria Filani, man, that's my aunt. She's like Lola, that's my uncle, man. And I hope I get myself these after this, man.
Thank you. Jerome, fighter. All right. Everything ain't always perfect. And I said it like that on purpose. He's a fighter. He keeps trying. And that's what it's about. You won't get knocked down. It's not always going to be perfect. Sometimes it's going to look tough. But he keeps fighting. And I admire that. He inspires me. Yeah, we 15 minutes over, y'all. So I'm not going to know what it is. But just wanted to say, Senate Bill 432. I'm not going to do that. As a matter of fact, I want to say thank you to Chef Tucker, who came in here and cooked that awesome food. Thank you, Chef Tucker. Yeah. And Tim Smith, who is the instructor for the show. Raise your hand, teacher. There you go. You have Brittany Wilson, who definitely helps every day in the office and cooks those delicious cupcakes. And we got Reagan.
Hey, Reagan. Okay.
And then we got my partner, my PNC, my partner in crime, couldn't deal without
this. This is Senator Barbara Robinson. The program is coming to an end now. I hope that all of you learned the importance of a cyber warrior diversity program. And we'll talk later. And I thank you so very much for tuning
in. Tarika, thank you very much for supporting Senator Robinson and everything that she does. Always been there for her.
We'll talk later. Barbara Robinson.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And last but not least, I want to show you a little bit on a video which
blackness. Keep on.